Well, praise the Lord, Grace Church. It is good to see all of you here this evening. Welcome. Glad you're here. Those joining us on live stream and Facebook Live, welcome. Glad you're part of the service tonight. Amen. Let us begin. Very important. I want to make a few announcements, but please lend me your ear. This is important. We have a change in the service schedule coming up due to the Thanksgiving holiday. And so if you're planning on participating in Grace Church services in the next couple of services, you definitely want to make sure that you get this down, write this down, put it in your phone. There will be one service and one service only this coming Sunday, and that service will be held at 10 o'clock. So no Sunday school, worship service at 10 o'clock. So mark your calendar for that. And then Tuesday morning prayer next Tuesday will be dismissed, and Wednesday evening Bible study next Wednesday will be dismissed, of course, all having to do with the Thanksgiving holiday. And by the way, happy early Thanksgiving. We hope you all have wonderful time with your family and friends and enjoy the season very much. It is certainly a shock that it is upon us. I don't know how that happened. I thought we were just having Thanksgiving, and here we are. So, but we are excited about the season, and we want you to enjoy all of God's best this holiday season. We mentioned Sunday, and I'll mention it again here while we're talking about schedules. Don't forget the first Wednesday night of December, that'll be December the 4th, we'll begin our new midweek schedule, beginning service at 7 p.m. instead of 7:30. So we've been talking about that. I know you remember that, but I did want to just mention it while we are talking about scheduling. One other thing I wanted to make you aware of, I think is interesting. I think it's worth passing along and sharing with you. We talk a lot about giving to Mission Louisiana, which of course is the effort to revitalize the campground, build a boys' dorm, that kind of thing. And we've talked extensively about that. I know you know what that is. But Brother Weber, the district, does send us updates on how we're progressing from time to time. They send those updates, and I realized you might be wondering where do we stand on all that. You've been so faithful to give. You've done your part, continue to do your part. And according to Brother Weber's newsletter from October, so this is really a month overdue now on an update, but we were at a little over $1.4 million raised towards that project. I believe the total needed is $3 million, so we're about halfway there. And this is awesome. It's an amazing result. It's God's blessing. It's your generosity and generosity from churches all over the district. So that is a wonderful update. It's a wonderful result. We're thankful for it. Let's pray together before Pastor comes for Bible study. Let's ask that God would move in our midst tonight and also in Kids Church upstairs, and that God would just talk to our hearts before we're done here tonight. Can we do that together? Jesus, we praise you tonight. So thankful, always thankful to be in your house, to be in your presence. And there is no God like you, Lord. There is none like you. We are thankful that we know you. We know you by name, the name Jesus. And I pray tonight your anointing would be here. Talk to our minds and our hearts. Speak, Lord, to our children upstairs in Kids Church. Lord, let everything be done to the glory of God. And let there be a strong undercurrent of the anointing and of the Holy Ghost that moves among us tonight. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you clap your hands to Jesus as Pastor comes to the pulpit tonight?
Thank you, Brother Dave. Good evening, everybody. Great to see you this evening at Grace Church. And always appreciate the opportunity to share thoughts out of the Word of God and on Wednesday night. And always trust that it's a blessing. Please do try to remember our service schedule for Sunday. Just one service, morning worship at 10 o'clock. That means there will be no Sunday school, just one service at 1. And I am happy to announce that we'll be planning to baptize somebody here this coming Sunday. And so we're always excited about that. Amen. So great time here this past Sunday. Always appreciate the blessing of the Lord and the great things that he does in the lives of people. And there were people here last Sunday that were certainly blessed, and we're certainly always thankful for that when that happens. Let me jump right into our presentation tonight, and just to have you think for a minute when we start our new service time, the first week in December, which our church-wide prayer meeting on Tuesday will start at 7, and then Wednesday night Bible study will start at 7, and they'll be that way for the next number of months. But had we started tonight, we'd be about 10 minutes away from being done. Think about that. And that ought to put a smile on your face, right? And you have to get here earlier, but you'd be dismissed earlier. So we hope this works out for everybody. We'll see. I want to read tonight from Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. You're all familiar with this passage of Scripture. And have another presentation tonight that I'd like to make, and hope it will minister to all of us here tonight. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away and prayed the second time. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. If you consider him praying this prayer three times, if this cup not pass away from me except I drink it, then thy will be done. He was, of course, not wanting to go to the cross. His flesh did not. And he pleaded with the power of God on the inside of him. If there's any other way, if there's any other possibility, then, you know, let's have that conversation. And I believe the silence of heaven was apparent to him that there was no other way, that this is the way that it had to be done. To pray that for three times in a row, you have to begin to think, was Jesus trying, his flesh trying to plead with or convince the spirit in him, or was his flesh trying to convince itself? You notice here tonight that he is repeating this, yet I want your will, not mine, three times. He did that three times in a row, and that's interesting to me. He didn't just pray it once and walk away, but he wanted to be sure that whatever was the will of God, whatever it was, he wanted God to know he was willing to do it. I want to speak to you again. If you remember, I've talked to you about discouragement. I've talked to you about several of these subjects, what have you. Tonight I want to talk to you about your will. Not the one you write up when you die, but that part of you that wants to have your way. I'll title this, His Will or Mine. Self-will, being self-willed, is probably one of the greatest hurdles that people have to overcome with themselves. And it's oftentimes a battle that you pretty much have to fight by yourself. If you're a child growing up with good parents, they will help you deal with your self-will. But when you're out of the household and you're on your own, then you will still contend with your desires versus what's best for you, what's best for your family and those around you. Self-willed people are very complicated. They're very difficult to deal with. So I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about being self-willed. And there's not a person in this sanctuary that'll lift your hand and say, yes, he's talking to me. But if you ask me, are there people in here like that? I would say, yes, there is, and I'm probably one of them. I try to be as honest with myself and objective with myself as possible. And as these kind of Bible studies go, where it requires objectivity, you looking in the mirror, asking yourself these questions, is that me, is that me, is that me? Most people, I don't believe, have the ability to do that. You'll say, well, that was a fine Bible study, but appreciate the extra knowledge, but it's not really going to impact me or change me. So let's jump into it anyway. Maybe there'll be some folks here tonight that will maybe mull on this for a day or two, go look in the mirror and say, hey, are there some things about me that needs to change, that God needs to help me change? Self-will is defined as pleasing oneself. You want to do whatever it takes to please yourself, to have your way. I saw a child one time, they're a grown adult now, but I saw them at about 3 or 4 years old. Their mother just said, they asked for something very simple. I witnessed this. They asked for something very simple, and mama just said, no. That's all she said. Didn't spank the child, none of that, just said no. The child went down to the floor real easy, went all the way down to the floor real slow, got on her back, and then just started kicking and screaming. If that hadn't have been so humorous, had that been my child, we would have had a conversation and probably a little bit more than that. That kind of thing right there just don't sit well with me. But it was fascinating to me that the child at her age had enough sense to go down real easy. That tells me that she fell out on the floor one other time and banged her back of her head real bad on the concrete, and she didn't forget that, right? So she went down real easy and then just started flailing. I can still see that in my mind's eye. Legs kicking and screaming and carrying on. That's self-will, and that's what people do when they don't get their way. Now, when you become an adult, you probably don't fall out on the floor, but do you pout? Thank you for the honesty. When your spouse doesn't agree with you for you to have some certain thing, do you not speak to them for 2 or 3 days? You have a self-will problem. And it's interesting to me that God allows these things to happen to us so he can test our humility and our submission. Everybody say submission. So self-will is defined as pleasing oneself, especially in opposition to the wishes or desires of others. Another word for self-will is stubbornness, self-pleasing, arrogant, and overbearing. Anybody want to keep looking in the mirror tonight, or you want to start looking at somebody else across the aisle and say, that's them. He's talking about that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. The Bible said in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, speaking of a bishop, that that person must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. Not soon angry, not given to wine nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but not self-willed was the first thing that God said a bishop cannot be. Let me talk to you about the dangers of being self-willed. A self-willed person, where life is all about you and what you want, and what everybody else wants is not important to you. Our society has a term, an extreme, when this is an extreme situation, it's narcissistic is the psychiatric term, I suppose. but very hard-headed, stubborn, everything's got to be my way. Really don't have a lot of compassion or sympathy, empathy for other people, don't get their way, whatever. Let me speak to you about the dangers of that for just a couple of minutes. Self-will brings destruction into the life of an individual. In one way or another, it will bring destruction to you. You will lose out on something. It could be your marriage, it could be your kids, it could be your money, it could be anything. Being a self-willed person can bring destruction into your life. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." I want to read another translation. It's going to be very hardcore. It's going to be very hardcore. Another translation where we can understand what he said better is, "Sin and self-satisfaction brings destruction and death to stupid fools." It's not my words. Another translation of that scripture. Self-will, where does it come from? What is the source of it? Self-will stems from pride and produces pride's limitations. Nehemiah 9:16 said, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments." We're all familiar with this verse in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. One translation said, "Pride precedes a disaster, and an arrogant attitude precedes a fall." So pride blinds us to our own weakness. Let me have you, I forgot to remind you a moment ago why I'm doing this. Remember, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. Been on that subject for months. This is another form of it, where the devil can use your own nature against you. I want everybody to understand that. So pride blinds us to our own weakness. That's why I introduced this saying, who can look in the mirror and be objective with yourself and say, yes, I have some problems in this area and I want God to help me work on it. Not a lot of people can do that. A lot of people can see it, but still don't want to work on it. It's too much trouble. Requires too much accountability, discipline. But the hardest part is submission. Pride keeps us from seeking help. This runs rampant with men. I've had several situations where a marriage was in trouble and the wife said, "I wish my husband would go with me to counseling." And he won't go. Like for every man to understand this, if you have children, it is a whole lot cheaper to pay for counseling than it is child support. And I wish everybody would think about it that way. If you can't think of no other reason. I've heard somebody say, "I can't afford marriage counseling." You can't afford child support. Right. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Pride blinds us to our own weakness, and pride keeps us from seeking help. Pride keeps us from making amends to people. Pride keeps you from saying, "I'm sorry, let's work this out." Pride causes us to blame others for all the problems. It's not my fault, it's their fault. I want to have this put on the screen, and I'd like for those of you that are in leadership or would like to be in leadership, our JV team and all of that, I'm going to put this on the screen. I want you to take a picture of it. A self-willed person cannot be trusted. I want you to think about that. You want to be in leadership? The essence of church leadership is trust. Everybody say trust. A self-willed person, when you have to have it your way, you're not a team player, you have to have it your way, everybody has to revolve around what I want, what I desire, the way I see things, you cannot be trusted. A person that cannot be trusted cannot be used. Is that fair? Of course it is. A person that cannot be used cannot be promoted. Is that resonating with anybody in your job? Does your employer trust you? If he or she doesn't, they're not going to promote you, right? A person that cannot be promoted, this is the line I want you to see. A person that cannot be promoted is stuck with him or herself. So if you're a self-willed person, enjoy living with yourself, by yourself for the rest of your life, because that's pretty much how you will ultimately end up. Everybody say amen. Amen. A self-willed person being self-willed ultimately stems from unbelief. It's when you just can't believe in God, you can't believe in your spouse, you can't believe in the people around you. In 2 Kings 17:14, notwithstanding, they could not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Do you think about this? People that can't believe in the Word of God, you're not going to progress, you're not going to promote, you're not going to do better. You're just going to be stuck with you for the rest of your life, and the few people you have around you is just going to be tolerant. You're not going to be fun. You're not going to be enjoyable. I'm asking everybody to look in the mirror tonight. Everybody here tonight, look in the mirror. Take a good look, long look in the mirror. If people dread it, if your kids dread you coming home from work, you've got a problem. And it ain't the kids. I better move on. I'm getting that look, and it's getting deathly quiet in here. We'll keep going. Self-will is exhibited. This is how you manifest self-will, is when you refuse to listen to God. You realize the audacity it takes for someone not to listen to God? When you read a verse in the Bible that says, thus saith the Lord, you need to do this, and then, no, I ain't going to do that. You realize how much audacity that takes? I'm fascinated when people read their Bible and they'll tell it back to me and say, I ain't doing that. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's necessary. I don't believe that's essential. Be careful. Be careful. And there's people here tonight that maybe you could look back over your past years of your life and see how things have worked out for you, not obeying the Scripture. I've had a verse on my mind. I shared it this past Sunday in our Sunday school class. I believe it's in the book of Hosea. The Bible said that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And God, bottom line, said, if you don't believe in me, I won't help you, and neither will I help your children. It's interesting. It's a lack of knowledge. And so when you're taught things, you need to listen to that. You need to obey that and submit to that. There's things that I do, I don't particularly like it. There's things that I'd like to do that I can't do. I probably shouldn't say this, but I think it's funny. This is my sense of humor. But I was talking to one of our pastors a number of years ago, and he was frustrated to the max. Something was going on in his church. I don't know all about it, but he was frustrated. And he said, I just wish there was a way you could curse in a good Christian way. You just want to let something out, and you can't do it. Does anybody feel me here tonight? Can we be real for a moment? You ever get that way with your spouse? Boy, somebody just said, oh, Lord, it must be bad. See me after church, goodness. But self-will is exhibited in a refusal to listen to God. Listen to pastor. Students, listen to pastor. Self-will is exhibited in a refusal to submit to authority. Self-will is exhibited in a refusal to receive instruction. It's exhibited in a refusal to receive correction. It's exhibited in refusal to sacrifice for others. Self-will. And God will, if your nature is like this, God will allow you to encounter things virtually on a daily basis and sometimes multiple times a day to try to have you look at yourself and say your behavior could be better. You could be a better person. You could be more loved and respected and treated better and what have you. But because of your attitude and because of your personality and because of your DNA, what have you, it gets to be a very lonely life. Y'all glad you came to Bible study tonight? So recognizing this self-will test, when God asks us to do something that is contrary to our own desires or opposite of our plans, we are entering into the self-will test. God is going to see. He knows what you're going to do. He doesn't play that against you. He does not play that against you. He wants you to see what you're going to do, and then to see if you're honest about it when it's over. Let me give you some examples in the Bible of God dealing with people and their self-will of having to do things they don't want to do. First example I'll give you tonight is Abraham offering Isaac as a burnt offering. Does anybody feel that? Can anybody even, if God asked you today, tonight in church, to get up in the morning and sacrifice one of your kids, could you do it? Jonah, God asked him to go preach to Nineveh. Absolutely not. I'm not going. Naaman could be cleansed of leprosy, but it took going dip seven times in the Jordan. He complained. He finally did it. But, buddy, he moaned and groaned like he was cutting his fingers off or something. Pride. Self-will. I am not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to do what is best for my family. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what's best for my spouse. I'm not going to do what's best for my kids. I am not going to do any of that. I'm going to have my way, and everybody's going to line up behind me and do exactly what I want them to do, when I want them to do it, and how I want them to do it. You're going to live a very lonely life. Peter was told to cast his nets on the other side. He argued with Jesus about that. We've been out here all night, man. I mean, hours and hours and hours in the dark, and you asking me to just throw it on the other side of the boat, what is that going to do? Fortunately, he did it. Abraham did it, what God asked him to do. Ultimately, Jonah did. Naaman did. Peter did. Jesus was asked to go to Calvary, and he did it. I want to say it again. People stuck on themselves are stuck with themselves. People stuck on themselves are stuck with themselves. A self-willed person is inflexible. A self-willed person is inconsiderate. A self-willed person is in constant conflict. There's always something wrong, and there's always the other person. Most problems in relationships are due to self-will. I want it my way. I'm not coming out of a book of psychiatry. I'm coming out of the Bible with a study, and I've read lots of verses already. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:20, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, tumults." This is what people do that are self-willed. And when you get two people that are self-willed, somebody's going to die. They can't live together. Somebody's got to go. The NIV said of that verse, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as well as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." Most church issues and even splits are the result of self-willed people. Can I give you a very hard, fast Bible truth? Even an angel became a devil because of self-will. Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Self-will. Couldn't submit. And a pure, innocent, holy angel became Satan, the devil, because of self-will. So everyone must answer to someone. Self-will reveals the level of submission of the individual. Everyone must answer to someone. It's interesting to me with self-will people, they know what the parameters are. For example, you just don't walk into a bank and say, give me all the money because I want it. You have sense enough to know better than that because you get thrown in jail. You even have enough sense not to run traffic lights and hit pedestrians because they're in your way. You have enough smarts and intelligence about you to obey the laws of the land for the most part. You'll cheat on your taxes. But when it's blatant obvious where you can get caught, you're smart enough to do that, but you're not smart enough to apply that same level of intelligence to other parts of your life and the other people in your life. For example, when you leave church tonight and you're going down Sullivan Road and you catch that light on yellow and it makes you stop, you'll stop. You'll sit there and wait for it to turn green. You'll wait. I've timed that light. It takes about 2 minutes. You'll sit there and wait. But if one of your kids or your spouse requires that much patience, you don't have it. It's a shame. It's sad. So self-willed people do have the ability to submit, but they only do it when it benefits them the most or saves them from a lot of compounded trouble, i.e. getting pulled over by a policeman and so on. So everybody must answer to someone. Life is full of people telling you what to do. So if everyone only did what he or she wished, chaos would reign. Self-will is the opposite of submission, the placing oneself under the authority of another. Submission to the will of God is what Christianity is all about. Brother Tenney said one time, the Bible can be summed up in one word, submission. Everybody say submission. In 1 Peter 5:5, the Bible talks about the younger submit to the elder. In Hebrews 13:17, the Bible said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. In Colossians 3:18, the Bible said, wives, submit to your own husbands. And all of you husbands want to run away with that and say, see, I'm the boss. Go ahead and hit her in the ribs real hard. Say, see, I told you I'm the boss. That's way out of context. You're taking that way out of context. Another Bible study for another time. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. 1 Peter 5:5 says, to be subject one to another. The self-will test that God allows us to go through and experience screens out would-be leaders. If you cannot submit to others, you cannot lead others. If you cannot submit to authority, no one will submit to your authority. Brother Brad is here tonight, and I believe he told me he's one of the assistant fire chiefs in Central. Is that correct? That sounds like a very nice title. It carries with it rank. It carries with it years of service and experience. And I'm sure, I'm saying this in all due respect, I'm not playing with this. I have a lot of respect for what he's accomplished. I'm sure he carries a pretty big stick at the fire department if it comes down to it, if he needs to. But the only reason he got to this place is because he started submitting to somebody a long time ago. And had he been an idiot and told his fire chief when he was on the job for 6 weeks and said, I ain't going up on that roof to put out no fire, what would have happened to Brad? he'd have gotten fired, no pun intended. If you cannot submit to others, you cannot lead others. And if you cannot submit to authority, no one will submit to your authority. And if they do it, they'll do it with hatred and animosity. The self-will test will ensure heaven is a perfect place. The self-will test will ensure that heaven is a perfect place. I don't read anywhere in the Bible that there'll ever be another devil story coming out of heaven. The Bible is very clear. No sin will enter there. And if you want to go there, you're going to have to learn submission. You're going to have to learn that. No one but those who have submitted themselves to God and others will enter. Nobody else will enter. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. Jude said in his epistle, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage or title or influence. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. I could go on and on with a bunch of verses in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, verse 12, verse 17, verse 19. The Bible goes on and on with the idea and the commandment of submission. And there's people here tonight that there's things in the Bible you don't want to submit to. You say it's not necessary. You say, I can't. None of those things hold up. And it's interesting to me that you tell God you can't submit as an adult, but you'll turn around and expect your kids to submit to you. And it's interesting. And they'll grow up not really respecting you, because after a while they'll start seeing through you and understand the hypocrisy and what have you. It's better off. You're better off. I learned this a hard way in my 20s. You're better off just to throw your hands up and say, okay, God, I give up. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want me to stand on my head and whistle Dixie and gargle peanut butter and stack greasy BBs, I'll do it. If you didn't catch all that the first time, go back. Yeah, I'm not going to repeat it again. Everyone will encounter his will or mine. Everybody's going to encounter that. It doesn't matter what level of spirituality you're at. You're going to encounter his will or mine. In order to see if you're willing to be submissive to authority, especially when it is not convenient and when it is not self-serving. So when we are willing to lay down our lives in submission, then we have passed the self-will test. Told you the story before, but it fits here tonight in conclusion. I didn't want to go into ministry. B, I told God that I didn't want to be an evangelist. I was married and had two kids. I wanted to go start a church somewhere. And then when God called us to Youngstown, when I finally had the opportunity to go start a church somewhere, I didn't want to do it then. So three times God tested me with my will and whether I would do what he's asking me to do or not. And I fought God over it. I could go through each one. But finally, the last huge test, and it's where I have quit arguing with God. When I feel like God is impressing something on me, I do it. I go after it. That's that, period. But I'll never forget it. We were home from Ohio. We were living in Chillicothe at the time, and I knew God wanted me and my family to go to Youngstown, Ohio, and start a church. I didn't want to go. I've been through the self-will test twice already, and now here I'm facing with it again. So we came home actually to attend and be a part of Sister Murphy's sister's wedding when she got married. And we were staying with my sister. And for that occasion, before we left to go back to Ohio, and after the wedding was over, I had a little bit of peace during the wedding. I wasn't thinking about Youngstown. It wasn't on my mind. And when we got home and visited with family and had a good time, it wasn't on my mind, but as soon as my head hit the pillow, Youngstown, 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 I'm like, no, 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 no. And I finally got out of the bed. I wallowed for well over an hour, finally got out of the bed, and went and sat down on the side of the bathtub at my sister's house. I don't remember the exact house they were living in at the time, but sat down on the tub, side of the tub, and I put my face in a hand towel and just started sobbing and said, God, please, I don't want to do that. And it's just like the more I cried and whined, no, 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 the more pressure. It felt like I was in a vice grip. And finally, I just jumped straight up to my feet, took that hand towel and just threw it to the floor. And this is what I said. Okay, God, if you want me to go to Youngstown, I'll go. And just like that, the whole thing lifted. I'm like, what just happened, man? I could feel this weight and pressure on me. It was unbelievable. I'm not exaggerating. As soon as I said, I was very sarcastic and cynical. Okay, I'll go. He's like, okay, I'm good. Okay, you can go back to bed. We're good. Appreciate it. Thanks, God. Went got to bed, went to sleep. Told Sister Murphy the next morning, well, we're going to have to go back to Ohio and pack up again and drive on over to Youngstown and see what it's all about. And she's been willing to follow me everywhere I've gone in ministry. It's been amazing. And we were there for 6 years. If I had said no that night, I'm not doing it, I wonder where I would be tonight instead of here. That decision ultimately led me here. And I look back, looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. God didn't want me in Youngstown forever. He just wanted to see if I'd go. So I did. We worked hard, gave it all we had. I didn't complain. I didn't whine and moan about it. We worked hard, gave it all we had. And 6 years later, we ended up here, where I was born and raised, where Sister Murphy lives since she was a teenager in this area, and we're still here. See how God works? You see, you're better off. You're better off. If God wants you to start paying tithes, if God wants you to start being faithful, if God wants you to commit your heart to Him, whatever it is, you're better off in the long run to throw your hands up and say, okay, God, I'll do it. Whatever it is you want me to do. Quit saying no, because your life is going to be filled with conflict, not because God's being mad or angry or punishing you. Self-will is doing that to you. That's what happens when you are a self-willed person. You have to learn to say yes to God. Again, Brother Tenney said, the Bible is summed up in one word, submission. And if you'll do it, happy are ye. And if you don't do it, unhappy are ye. Somebody understand that? Look at your neighbor and say, submit and be happy. All right. Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful for this amazing journey through the Word of God from the Old to the New Testament and back. We're thankful for the examples. We're thankful, God, for those who's lived thousands of years ahead of us to be a living epistle for us. We watched them through the pages of the Bible go through this test over and over, and some people over and over many times. We even know of the stories where you gave people an opportunity to submit, they didn't, and they lost out. King Saul, God, is a great example of that, a great example. Judas Iscariot is an example of that. Demas is an example of that. Cain is an example of that. Help us, God, tonight to be what you want us to be, to just say yes, that God, we're going to submit to authority, we're going to submit to the Word of God, we're going to submit to God Himself. If the Bible tells me to do something, God, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with all of my might, and I'm going to love doing it because you've called me, set me aside, set me apart, to live for you with all of my heart. God, please help us tonight to be everything we can, to be everything you've called us to be. Help us to do it with all of our might, with a great attitude, a great spirit. We'll give you thanks and thank you for the joy and happiness that you fill our lives with every single day. For all of your blessings, we're so thankful. And everybody say amen. God bless you tonight. Fellowship with one another, and you're dismissed. And God bless you.